Good morning. What a way to start off the service. I love that song, What a Day. Just think. Our little pea brain minds can't even imagine what we're going to see. But let's give the children the young men our undivided attention this morning and listen to their memory verse. Okay, guys, take it away.
Jesus lives.
Amen. Good to have Miss Kelly back. When you work with children all week long like she does, you catch every little bug and every little germ that comes along.
I'm still a little stuffy.
Oh, you're still a little stuffy. Okay. All right. Let's do welcome and announcements. Already welcomed you, so let's get into the announcements. You see what's on the back. And just so you know, the little containers back there, anybody that would like to donate to Mount Tabor Community Egg Hunt, they do that every year, and it's for the whole community. And I remember when our kids were little, we took them there. They had a great time. And what a way to fellowship with the children, you know? So we always give donations. So that little red can back there, if you want to make a donation to help with Mount Tabor Egg Hunt, that's a community thing, would be great. Who? You? Okay, well, you were pointing that way. I thought you were pointing to somebody back there, and I thought, no, we're not going to put Buddy on the stand here.
Thank goodness. Next Sunday, right before we have the service, it's just to vote in or confirm a new trustee.
Okay. Okay. All right. Any others?
Debbie, I just want to say whoever put the flag up or whoever bought the flag, I thought it's beautiful.
Yeah. Buddy put that flag up, and that flag's been a talk piece lately. He only had to flag up how many days, Buddy, and it went missing. It went missing. So Buddy's going around the neighborhood looking for the flag, and he found it. And I thank you, Buddy. So, yeah.
The wind carried away or someone else?
We don't know. It was supposed to be fastened down, but we don't know. But it came back. That's all we need to know. So we thank you for putting it up, Buddy. Yes. Okay. Any others? All right, I guess let's prepare our hearts while Jerry plays the prelude. Call to worship this morning comes from Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. May we bow our heads. Father, we come before you with grateful hearts. We do, Father. We know that all life's blessings come from you. And yes, we know we have trials, but hopefully they help us to stay on the path and seek your wisdom and seek your help that you may lead us. Father, now we just ask that you be with us in the midst this morning as we worship and praise you. And we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, hymn number 358. 358.
Please stand if you're able.
Have our call to Christian giving. It comes from Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw away the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. How many of you are testimony to that? The more you give, it seems like the more you receive. And I don't just mean in money. I just mean in giving of ourselves. We get the blessings back. So many times we may take a meal to someone that's not well or whatever. And when we're down or we need help, how many hands or how many calls do we get? So remember that. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you now for the gifts in the collection box, Father. We ask that you not only bless that gift, but bless the giver as well. Bless this church, Father, and help us that we may be a beacon shining in a dark world, Father. That we use these tithes and offerings to bring those that are lost to you. And we ask it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Okay, this is a time for joys and concerns. It seems like our list gets longer and longer. Anyone?
I'll continue the Faith family and Katie and Travis.
As Darlene said, please keep Cody in your prayers, but keep Cody's mom and dad and siblings in your prayers too, because it's been a rough week. And just pray for guidance. Cody, I'm sure Carrie Ann and Toby don't mind that I tell you, but they took Cody to Lancaster Behavioral Health on Friday. So just pray that the center there knows that God leads them, you know. And I was online looking to find a faith-based behavioral health clinic, but you know, they're few and far between. So where they are going to fall short, let's pick it up with prayer. I just want to joy tap. Last Friday we had him in the emergency room for a passing out, but all of you bakers know that that's a trait of the Baker family, passing out. But he's been doing well, and he even has not been using his cane. They have worked with him so well that his gait, his walk is so much better. So, and just lift those therapists up, because those ladies are something. I mean, they are on it. So let's lift them up as they do their due diligence to get folks back on the right track. Others? Faye? Let's remember to keep Deb Dentler, Pastor Larry's wife, as I haven't spoke with him to find out what they're doing in her case with breast cancer. I saw another hand. Linda?
Bob and the church.
Bob and the church.
We're going to continue to keep Pat on our prayers. And every one of us here in the church, as well as those out in the world, are having medical issues or problems and situations that they have to face. And also peace and love and compassion throughout the whole world. Our leaders, they really need to lean on Jesus for guidance in our nation, in our world, throughout the whole ordeal.
And food for thought. If we can't show peace, love, and compassion within these four walls, what do you think the world's like out there? Okay, so keep that in mind. Jerry, do you have any?
I have a few to put on the unspoken request, but also have a couple of joys that a few of us last night were together. We were able to celebrate a young man's 40th birthday, and today we get to celebrate a young lady across the street's 90th birthday, Miss Helen Burrier.
Oh, yes.
And then next Saturday we get to celebrate another young lady and from our church, and that's Chelsea Smith.
Yes, 21, yes. Yes. You know what? When I was in Walmart yesterday, the lady was checking me out, and I had some flowers to put on the graves, and she said, "Oh, they're pretty." I said, "Yes, they are." I said, "But gee, they're expensive now." And she said, "Yeah, they are." She said, "Do you think our president is going to help us?" And I said, "Well, I don't know about that. He's got a lot of trials and tribulations." And I said, "But you know what? I don't think if God the Father came down to help us, some of us would listen. Do you?" And she looked at me kind of funny, and she said, "I never thought of that." I said, "Well, that's something we should think about." And she said, "You're right. But just think about that. There's nothing that we can't do if we don't have him as our guide." So, okay. Any others? Let's bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Some of us have heavy hearts this morning. Some of us, our hearts are overflowing with joy. But no matter the circumstance, we all come before you, Father, to give you the honor, glory, and praise that is so needed to give to you, because you are all You are our all. Father, now we just want to thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. The breeze is a little cool, but the sunshine, oh, it just is so delightful. And we just thank you for that. And we see the spring flowers popping up. And the other night, there was such a beautiful, beautiful sunset that only you, the master painter, could provide. Father, we thank you. Father, now we lift up those that were mentioned here today. Many needs and many concerns. We think of the Baker family. We think of young men like Travis and Cody and Evan that are struggling. We think of Mark's family with the loss of a young lady taking her life way too soon, Father. And we just ask that you would be in the midst of that family, that you would, that they would feel your loving arms around them, that you, that they would find comfort in you, Father. Father, help us as your children to seek and help those that are down and out. May we give a kind word or encouragement to help them through a troubled time. Father, there's so much darkness and so much sadness and so much hate in this world today that we barely know which way to turn. But Father, if we turn to you, we know we will be okay. Father, we think of those that have been diagnosed with cancer. We think of Kathy and her breast cancer. We think of Sister Deb Dentler, who's battling breast cancer. We think of Maxine's son-in-law, who still needs your care. We think of Bob and the church as a whole. We ask that you touch each and every heart. Father, we ask that you be with Frank and Pat. There's so many unspoken requests, Father. You know, we don't have to mention what they are or who they are about. You already know. So, Father, we just put that into your hands. Father, we pray for this country. We pray for the whole world, that one day we would see peace and unity and love and compassion, that we would share it with each other, that there wouldn't be any room for hate. Father, we just ask that you would be with the leaders of this land, not only this land, other countries, but be with our president and his cabinet and administration. Guide them, and may they humbly come before you and ask your wisdom and seek your guidance, Father. And my prayer every day is that if there be one amongst the midst of his cabinet that do not know you as their Lord and Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that that would come about. Because only then can we come to you and seek you. If our leaders don't, we're lost, Father. And we just put that into your hands, that you guide them. Father, we thank you for birthdays. Oh, what special celebrations it is to have another year. Father, we just ask a special blessing upon those that are celebrating birthdays this month. Father, now we just lift up to you Pastor Sam as he comes in a moment to give his message. Well, actually give your message, for we know your words will flow through him. And we thank you for him and Sister Jackie. They are such a blessing to this congregation. Father, and we just ask that you would bless them and bless their family. Now may we unite our hearts and our prayers in that, our hearts and our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I look on my phone every day about the weather, and it says, for the past week, it says, no pollen, no pollen. But my nose tells me there's pollen. Huh?
It tells you differently.
Right, right. Okay, now may we join our voices in hymn number 505. The sermon title this morning is Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. The scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, may we turn it over to Brother Sam. And I'd like to be a little more like Mary and a little less like Martha.
We'll show you how to do that.
All right, I'm going to take notes.
Actually, my title today, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus, is the solution. So the solution comes before the problem. But if we don't pay attention, then we'll have to go back to the solution. So let's bow down in prayer. Father, we give thanks today that we have the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus in your word. Thank you. We can gather here today. We ask that you'll bless us. Help us to do your will, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we have a story here of these two ladies. And it begins, as we had just read, in Luke 10:38 about Martha. And he says that Jesus entered her house. and she received him into her house. So that's why I titled Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Now, I think all of us know well enough. Have you ever visited someone and you got the idea they're not real happy about you being there? Now, maybe that's only because as a pastor, I arrive in some homes and I think I arrived a little early. I think I wasn't welcome. And when I don't feel welcome in a home, as old as I am, I'm on my way. I'm not there to aggravate somebody. But this actually receiving is a good word. It has the idea of receive as a guest, receive freely. Martha was glad to see him there. She wasn't angry at all. And we have in Luke 19:6 about Zacchaeus. Remember, a little man and a big crowd climbed up in a sycamore tree. Now, for us country boys, that's not a problem. We had a tree in our front yard, and the tree barely survived because my son kept climbing it. People say, why is he climbing that tree all the time? So, right, fellas? We grew up climbing trees was fun. In fact, I loved it in the summer in a maple tree because when we played hide and seek, I climbed up in the top of them and they never found me. So climbing up in the tree is fine. But he wanted to do that to see Jesus. What is your obstacle to seeing Jesus? He couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. So he climbed to the tree. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. And the Bible says he came down and received him joyfully. Same word we have here. So it's good to invite Jesus into your heart, into your home. But then we want to go to verse 39. And she had a sister named Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That word, sit, has the idea to sit down alongside of, to hear instruction. In fact, I'm the only one standing right now. You're sitting. If I have my school experience right, I always sat. The teacher always stood. So the teacher is standing up to give instruction. Now, there's two words here. The word she sat down means she sat down. But in the Greek languages, she sat down and kept on hearing. She heard his word. She kept on hearing. Is it possible for someone to be sitting down but not listening? Does your mind ever wonder, I'm not going to take you on a journey because it's probably already going. Please come back. Seventh grade, elementary school, Elm Street Junior High School. Teacher was talking about measurements, quarts, cups, so forth. And my body was in Elm Street in Maryland. My mind was out on the John Deere tractor. And all of a sudden, I still know her name, I won't say it. Samuel, what are we studying? Boy, the tractor stopped. I said, we're studying sugar. Measurements. Then she said, which kind of sugar? My mind came back in. So I said, is it possible with that? We sit here, but our minds wander off. But it tells us here that Mary was still hearing. Now, if you sit at the feet of Jesus, you begin to understand something. And all of us, the more we know people, and that'll be true in this church, you folks know each other so much better than you did before because you've been with each other. And probably most of you could finish your cousin's sentence. They begin, you could finish their sentence. They're telling a story, you could finish it for them. And so with me, I went to Lewistown Elementary School. In those days, Lewistown was in the Frederick High School area. I guess now Lewistown people come to Thurmond, Catoctin. So I went from there to Elm Street, to Frederick High School. I don't know about you folks. I had one teacher for grade one. Then another teacher for grade two. Is that how you folks were too, basically? So I knew my teacher for 1 year. Then we went to high school. You had one teacher taught ninth grade math, another teacher 10th grade, remember? So I only knew my teachers all my entire life 1 year. Then I went to Washington Bible College, went from Frederick High School, student body of 1,200, to Washington Bible College, a student body of 100. Jackie did also. So that meant that the one professor taught all Old Testament books. So I had him for 4 years. Every teacher I had for 4 years. Would you believe that by the time I got to the fourth year, senior year, I began to, I knew them a lot better. I understood what they were saying. I knew what kind of exams they gave. I'm trying to pass. But the longer I knew the people, the better I knew the people. I knew their expressions. Even heard some of their illustrations over the years. My point is, the longer I knew these teachers, the better I knew these teachers. The longer we know Jesus, the better we should know Jesus. And I enjoyed the senior year of college because I knew these people. It should be, the longer we're saved, the more we enjoy the Lord. Now, you may wonder today, we can't sit at the feet of Jesus because he's not here in person. So how do we sit at the feet of Jesus today? In his word. If you want to know what Jesus said, read what he says. So one of the ways we sit with Jesus is we read the Bible continually. Read the Bible every day. I plan to read through the Bible. I'm not arguing that, but be in the Word every day. One of the things that I enjoy, my morning walk around Thurmont, around sunrise now, is I don't do a lot of intense praying, but just talking with the Lord. Those of us that have adult children, don't you enjoy just talking with adult children? They're still not saying, Mommy can have a cookie. If they're an adult child, say, get your own cookie. So as our kids get older, now in our, with Jackie and me, of all of our grandchildren, our youngest is a junior in high school. So now I enjoy watching my grandchildren mother their children and father their children. It's good to sit back and watch them. So the longer we know each other, the better we know each other. And so that's true in reading the Bible and praying. But there's also something else, and that is music. Did you know that last night, for an hour and a half, Jack and I sat at the feet of Jesus in Walkersville. Can you believe that? Glade Valley Church of the Brethren had the National Christian Choir come for a concert. So for an hour and a half, I hate to confess, but I wasn't even interested in March Madness, and you know what a sport fan I am. But there was an incredible concert yesterday by the National Christian Choir, second edition, so it's a smaller group. Their smaller group was, 30 instead of 150? But some of the great songs we had last night, for an hour and a half, I didn't think about weather, traffic, swamp in D.C., Ukraine, Gaza, just thinking about the Lord. One of the songs, How Deep the Father Loves, How Deep is the Father's Love for Us. Think about how deep the Father's love for us. Then one of the fellows sang a solo, Sometimes He Calms the Storm. And he gave a testimony that 20-some years ago, this man had extensive cancer. And they said, if you ever survive, you won't be able to sing. And here he is singing in front of this group. What touched my heart? 20-some years ago, I had cancer here. Didn't know if I'd ever walk again, never talk again. And here I am. So the song went like this. Sometimes he calms the storm. and sometimes he calms me. Wow, did that ever sink into my heart? Because I get a little irritated when things get going too fast for me. And then a lady saying, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. That's something to think about. Is that true? Is Jesus the center of our joy? And then thou, O Lord, and then it has words, thou, O Lord, are my shield. Thou, O Lord, are my solid rock. And the song goes, you think it's going to stop. But thou, O Lord. And then something else. But thou, O Lord. And then there's power in the name of Jesus. Think about that. The mind of Christ. The midnight cry, the Lord's going to come. And behold our God. So we had a great time last night. So just for an advertisement, the National Christian Choir is on WFMD, 8:30 Sunday mornings. So if you want to get in a little bit of mood for some music, WFMD, I don't generally advertise radio stations, but WFMD will have this National Christian Choir singing some things there. So we want to do things that will encourage our hearts. God's still in control. We enjoy the videos here about the Passover in Walkersville and great things about what the Lord is doing. So one received into the house, one received into her heart. Now we go to verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Title of my message is Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. Subtitle, The Problems of Busyness. Can we get so busy for the Lord we forget to spend time with the Lord? We get so busy on what we're doing. Now, my wife and I live in an active adult community, so we have to keep active. But I think, man, can we put the RPMs? I don't know. Are things going faster or am I going slower? I don't really know. But sometimes I think, my daughter walks faster than she used to. You think? Could it be me? Possibly? I don't know. But it says she was cumbered about much serving. That means distracted, overoccupied, overwhelmed, too much going on. And it says, let's look here. She was cumbered about much serving and came to him, came to Jesus. I just can imagine. You ever had anybody do that to you? And you think, what? One of the teachers would do like, what? We're all nice. They know down deep inside we were. Listen, huh? Did that get your attention? How about this? As a child growing up, I understood those signals rather quickly. Not my dad, my mother. So Jesus is talking here, and she came in and says she came suddenly. And listen to what she says to him. Lord, do you not care that my sister left me alone? Do you not care? Didn't you give any thought ahead of time? Well, there's a verse in the Bible about care, and Dan is going to read us a verse about casting our care, what we should do with our care.
1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Now, there's two different words here, and you won't get this in English. Casting all your anxieties, all your problems, all the things that bug you. One of my care is my computer. As long as I have the computer I have now, I'll be a man of prayer. Lord, help this thing to quit doing stupid stuff. Turn it off, turn it back on again. Does the same thing again. So there are cares. And it says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. It's a different word. That means to care with forethought. So when someone invites you to their home for dinner, and you say, okay, I'll come. Do you say, I hope they can cook the meal. Are you worried they might be able to cook the dinner? Probably not. Why? because they plan ahead of what can be done. So does God have a plan for us, or is he anxious? No, God knows. So we can be distracted, and it can be politics, it can be sports. I've learned on sports pretty well to conquer it. I'm a great fan of the University of Maryland. They used to make me nervous. Now I have an attitude. We win, they lose. I didn't fumble the ball. I'm sitting here in Frederick. They fumbled the ball, but we won, huh? And so we can get all wrapped up in the things of the world. What's going to happen with this? Going to happen with that? And she said, do you not care? Now think about it. Here is Martha telling the God of creation, did you care? Did you plan ahead? You think God planned ahead when he made the earth? With everything that's going, what we mess it up still runs. So she first of all blamed Jesus for not caring, but then she said, my sister has left me. That means she walked out. Well, when Jesus walks in, everybody else has got to walk aside. So we have this human solution, she says. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Have you ever taken notice that these nervous people, they're always in control, and they always have the solution, rather than saying, somebody else, what could you do? I'm glad I don't have to have a solution to everything. When something breaks our house and we have someone come in, I don't tell them how to fix it, because they know how to fix it. If the microwave is not working right, we call the man in. I didn't tell him how to do it. You know why? I didn't know. I brought him because he did know. So we have the fact that she blamed her sister for this. So what does Jesus tell her then with all this? Verse 41. Martha, Martha, you are careful, you're distracted, you're all nervous. And she says, you are troubled, you're agitated. And I like that. We do have one thing in the our house that is supposed to agitate. It's the agitator in the washing machine, right? Did you ever see some people are like that? Always in a fuss. I mean, man, there goes an agitator. Just the washing machine. I don't want it in the dryer. Don't want it in other parts of the house. So Martha was distracted, and she had all these problems. But then we go down what Jesus told her. And not only Martha worked and worried, but also Jesus warned Martha about her habits. Martha, Martha. But I think he did it carefully. I think he did it in love. You know, I try not to make things hard for myself. But we do sometimes do stupid things. And when God talks to us, he wants to help us. Now, both my wife and I are in therapy. I'm in voice therapy. She's still in physical therapy for the knee. So we follow what our doctors, therapists recommend. So here's Jesus giving the solution to her. She says, Jesus said, one thing is needful. What do we really need? Do we really need all the stuff we have? When those of us our age grew up, we grew up with a lot of things we didn't have nowadays. We didn't have running water. Go out on the porch, pump it, and run into the house. We had hot and cold water. You take the cold water and you heat it up. So all the things we have here, I know even during COVID, in the worst part of COVID, and all the things they said we're going to have to go through, I thought, well, that's kind of how we grew up. We didn't have all these things. What do we really need? Do we need all that we have? And so Jesus is saying, one thing is basic. And Dan's going to read about some things that are basic for us.
Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:32-33. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you do have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Have you ever been in a store where a little child just has to have something? They're crying, carry on, and get down on the floor and cry. They have to have this candy. I think they can get by without it. So as I get older, there are a lot of things that society provides. I really don't need it. I don't need all the stuff that's going around. Now, I appreciate it, but if it's taken from us, one thing is needful. And so Jesus, or Philippians says, my God shall supply all your needs. There have been things in my life God's given to me. I didn't know I needed it tomorrow. Ever do that for you? God supplies something. All right, I wonder what's going to happen now. There's a reason why God does this. But isn't it great that God knows what we need? God knows what we need in our hearts. And so the Gentiles seek these things, but God knows. See, first the kingdom of God. And there are times with me, even yesterday, there was something on television I wanted to watch while I'm having my prayer time. And I thought, am I going to skip prayer time on Saturday morning and get up on Sunday morning and talk about putting God first? So whatever was on television, I won't tell you, but I continued my prayer time because I didn't want to watch on television and come back and God say, where have you been? Did your mother ever tell you that? You sneak out? And she said, two things. Where have you been? And what are you doing? And she already knows. You don't pull that on God. So God knows what we have need. And he said about Mary, Mary has chosen that good part. And Dan's going to read something about choosing.
If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
We make a lot of choices in life, especially as young people. It affects, when I look back to high school, my high school, Ferry High School, how the Lord led me beyond what I could ever have imagined. And the choices I had to make. Basically, my choice was get out of here without getting hurt. Keep your head down and get out of here. But God had me go in various directions. The only sad thing to me is the people in high school that had the greatest impact on me, they never lived to see the results. I just hoped in their hearts they knew they were doing the right thing. Teachers, you don't always see your instant results. Parents, you don't always see instant results, but eventually it comes out. We choose the right part. What's beneficial? What I see here in this passage is not a choice between good and bad. It's between good and best. I think I've given an illustration about choosing tools in Lowe's. My criteria was get the cheapest. I've kind of changed that over the years. You get what you pay for. And I've gotten tired of buying junk. I'd rather buy something that'll last a while. Plus, if I'm working with my son-in-law, you know what's going to happen there. He says, what are you using? So I choose the best thing. But isn't the best thing in life to choose the Lord? Isn't it best to be Christians? Best to put the Lord first. Best to do what God would have us do. So we choose the best thing that would glorify the Lord. Now he did say this. Martha has chosen the good part which shall not be taken from her. There's things about what's temporal. Doesn't last. It's what is enduring. I think I've given this illustration many times. When we're raising our children. I raised children and tomatoes. And the tomatoes, much faster than kids. I eat my first tomato on July 1st. I said, first tomato. I did not say first ripe. I said first tomato. So I always grow cherry tomatoes in case they got to be green. At least it's not a real big one. But at the first frost, tomatoes are gone. Our children are eternal. Right now, with our family, we're serving the Lord in 6 different churches. 4 in Pennsylvania, 2 in Maryland. So raising those children, raising grandchildren, great-grandchildren, it takes a while. And the longer you're raising your children, the more you appreciate your parents. I look back now to my mother and dad. I thought, I wonder, was I a challenge? I couldn't have been a challenge. I'm a dear son. I'm sure I wasn't a challenge. Maybe that's wishful thinking. But isn't it great how God helps us? And we choose what's right, and it will not be taken away from her. Dan has some verses about this.
Mark 14:6-9. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done good work on me. She has done what she could. She came forward to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her."
Can you believe that? Back about 2,000 years ago, this lady did something that we're talking about here today. And I trust you have people in your life that have had a great impact on you, a great influence on you, more than you realize. Maybe a pastor, as I mentioned, a school teacher, counselors that directed me. And there were times I thought, I never argued. Because I figured they might know something, but they're probably off base. So what we do has an impact. And in this church here, we could think back to this church. There's got to be people 100 years ago that did things. The minister that led me to the Lord was ordained in 1922. And I didn't know that until more recent years. Thankfully, my mother saved his obituary. So I was able to trace his ancestry. But he went to be with the Lord, never knew any impact on us. So right now in this room, we're having an impact on people more than we might know. The devil's telling us, you're worthless. God's saying, you're precious. So keep in the word, don't be discouraged. And what she did was not taken away. You'll never be sorry by spending time with Jesus. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we thank you for this lady, Martha, Mary, and how Mary sat at your feet. And may each of us have a walk with you, a relationship with you that would bring glory to you. We pray in Christ's name.